At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has written the number one selling books in both fields: The Art of Mixing, The Art of Recording, and in Sound Healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have over a dozen treatments that we offer here in Sausalito, and many of them we offer online. We also have the online Sound Treatment Center with many practitioners. We use a program that's way better quality than Zoom. Go to Sound Treatment Center to check out the practitioners and to book a session. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into two Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there, it's David. Let me tell you about some upcoming events coming up. We've got the, first of all, our new book release, Sound, Love, and Relationships, we're going to be talking about today in detail. But we have a workshop on next Sunday, January 12th, from 10 to 1 Pacific time, where we're going to be going through the book in way more detail. And also, if anybody has any questions about relationships, we'll come up with something. Right. We also now have vibrating car seats. We have kits that you can get installed into your car seats so you can be vibrated while driving. Check it out at vibratingcarseats.com. We also have our online Sound Treatment Center, as already mentioned. We've also got a weekend intensive here in Sausalito, just outside San Francisco, Saturday and Sunday, January 25th and 26th. You can find all of this, by the way, on soundhealingcenter.com. And then we've also got our open house coming up January 19th from 1 to 5. It's all about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're going to put you on a sound table and vibrate you into bliss and do many heart-opening meditations. Our next semester at the Institute in person starts January 22nd. That's mostly Monday and Wednesday nights. And then we've got the online version that starts just this Tuesday, January 7th. You can start just about every 2 weeks, though, anyway. And then we've got our recording program starting January 21st. And that's how to record, mix, and produce. We also have our voice analysis software that we sell. Next training for that software is Sunday, February 2nd. You have to buy it by January 25th. And then we also have our brainwave software as well. So if you go to soundhealingcenter.com, you'll find all of the information here. Or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Okay. So I did it. I finished my book on sound healing relationships. Let me show it to you. So if you go to soundlovingrelationships.com, you'll find the website where you can order the book. And it's about creating harmony in loving relationships with many sound healing techniques. It's about being whole on your own, heart open, at peace in your own vibration. Instead of doing couples therapy, you should work on yourself. Right? Then you'll have more capacity to handle any challenge or conflict without reaction. Then communication flows like a song, smoothly. Then it's time to play and run more love with sound, ultimately raising the relationship up to the level of universal love. I thought I should write a book so I can learn about how to do relationship better. And it's really like one of the most difficult things. I mean, we have so much difficulty around relationships. I mean, it's so common. So this is a good attempt to provide a lot more clarity. It's got seven sections. The first section is whole on your own, heart open, and then compatibility, how to decide if they're on a relation, whether they're the one, right? And then there's connecting and navigating new relationships, communication, which is the big section, and then breakups or loss of a loved one and how to deal with grief. And then harmony in relationships, which is all about playing with sound and running more love. And then the final chapter is about once you know all this information and get it down, how to have compassion for others that don't, or for yourself when you forget. Right? It's really, really tricky when you learn things. And you kind of look down on others easily. Okay, here we go. Guess what I discovered during these years of self-excavation? In the tomb is the great and overwhelming desire to love and be loved. However, to love means vulnerability, submission, loss of some of oneself. A bit as frightening as having a heart attack or facing an enemy trying to break into your home. Super incredible love that explodes like fireworks and then burns steady like a hearth. Let me go through the different sections and chapters and give you some highlights here. Okay. So the first section is, and the main theme through the whole book, is being whole on your own and heart open. You need to be completely whole to go into a relationship as much as possible. I think of it this way. Any dissonance you have in your own being is going to be amplified exponentially in the relationship. Likewise, any peace and stillness and wholeness you have is also going to be amplified exponentially in the relationship. So it's really all about being whole on your own. But there's a lot of people I know that are whole on their own, but not heart open. Right? They even seem a little cold, but they're really whole. The trick is to be whole and heart open, which is tricky. You know, it's really all about attachment. When you get down to it, attachment is the basis of all suffering. It's the base. It's the main precept of Buddhism. Attachment is the basis of all suffering. And it's really tricky because our whole media, our whole world, our whole mass consciousness is to find a mate. And in the movies, I mean, people, you know, I mean, it's all about finding somebody. If you lose them, it's a bummer. In fact, there's so much attachment commonly that people kill or commit suicide. Attachment is the norm, right? And it's tricky to not be attached. What I've learned and what I included here is the level of attachment that you have equals precisely the level of stress you have in a relationship. And it's tricky. If you get a good one, you get really attached. In fact, I actually had a relationship that was really interesting because we were, our theme was non-attachment. And I got addicted to the non-attachment. I got attached to the non-attachment. Oh my God, when's it going to stop, right? So, I mean, if there's serious attachment, we're talking, someone could murder someone, right? So if I you can categorize it on a scale of 1 to 0 to 10. Think about how attached you are in your relationship right now. Or if you don't have a relationship, how big of a deal it is that you want a relationship, or how much of a bummer is it that you don't have one on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And that is your scale. Now, it's really interesting to think, okay, what is non-attachment? It's like I had this one woman years ago, she said, don't come to this relationship unless you're filled with love. So it's really about not needing someone to get love. Ultimately, the ideal is to be able to love yourself, and the ultimate is to be able to access universal love and run that on your own. Universal love is way more powerful than any relationship, although there's no hugs there. So it's nice to have hugs, you know, I guess in sex as well, right? But universal love is like, oh my God, we just did a show on it a couple of weeks ago. It's like once you have that down, it's just a relationship is just gravy, right? Because universal love is not only way more powerful, it's never going away. It's never going away. So that's so critical to learn to be able to access universal love. But also to realize it's all taken care of. Stop stressing about it. Stop. If you're in a relationship and you're worried about, you know, the conflicts or challenges, stop stressing about it. You really have to let go. Letting go is non-attachment, right? Letting it be. Letting it be whatever it is. And if you don't have a relationship, letting it be. And the coolest thing about letting it be and trusting that it's completely taken care of is then there's no stress, and that is the most attractive of all. So if you want a relationship, you got to give up trying to get a relationship. Right? Now, you still do what you need to do. You know, you get out of bed, right? And you go to places or, you know, go on a dating app, do whatever you need to do. And you can even visualize a relationship. but not be attached to it. The trick is completely being at peace in yourself. And there's really a lot of details that we've covered in my previous book, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing, about how to be at peace in yourself. It's really interesting to figure out the ideal that you would like to be. Again, you may never attain it, so you can't be attached to it because then you'll be bummed out, right? But still, you set your goal of what you want to be and you work towards that. And then it's also about being home at home in yourself. And that is an actual rhythm of your own metabolism and your heart rate, which you have to average out, and brainwave rate when you're at peace or running love. So it's an actual frequency. And we talk about how to actually find that. We actually help people find that with the brainwave assessment. It's really cool when you're back to your own rhythm and you feel totally in your body, totally at peace in your own skin. But it's also being emotionally stable, being able to actually deal with and release different emotions. We go through 11 techniques to deal with different emotions, also in my previous book as well. And also how to deal with challenges and conflicts, gratitude, compassion, love, joy, all of these different techniques to be at peace and just let it be in the midst of challenges. And then also the transforming negative beliefs around the self. If you really don't feel good about yourself and don't feel good enough, the other person totally knows you feel that. There's no secrets here. We see it just by walking down the street. You can just look at a person and see how good they feel about themselves, right? Especially when you start talking to them, right? And that, it's like you're putting out a message in front of you that says, I'm not good enough. And of course, spirit being the beautiful being it is, says, okay, we'll bring many situations to support that belief that you're not good enough. You've got to transform these beliefs, and we go through all the different beliefs and how to transform them. And then being one with the universe, I mean, it's really interesting to realize, you know, we're all one. This relationship is part of you. This person is part of you. And then being a master, oh my God, to be able to manifest what you want without attachment. That's the whole trick. Okay. And also make changes without attachment, because sometimes people look at themselves and they go, I suck, right? Well, we all suck. We're human, right? But it's like you just do what you need to do to get to the next level. That's all. Okay. Then there's compatibility. Now, it's really interesting with compatibility because a lot of people simply go on the actual, oh my God, what's the word? It's the energy of the relationship, on the actual, the energy as to whether it's working well together. So the whole trick is a chemistry. That's the word I was looking for, the chemistry. People commonly base a relationship, whether they're going to get into a relationship, on chemistry. It could be chemistry physically. Oh, I want to make love to you. Or it could be emotionally. Oh, at least you're stable. Or it could be mentally. Oh, you're really smart, or just the same level of mental capacity as me. Or spiritually. Ooh, I love it that not only are you spiritually oriented, or not, and also you see other beings in the room. You're like a whole light being, right? So there's these areas of compatibility, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we look at the chemistry commonly. But you can also look at it in a different way. And that is based on compatibility. Let me show you the chart I have here. So I put together a relationship chart, and it's really interesting. Don't freak out now. But we're not trying to use a chart to calculate whether you're compatible. The main thing about using a chart like this is just to actually make sure that you don't forget different components. Because often relationships go up and down based on one good or bad situation. And so you get tunnel vision. You go, oh, that sucks, right? And then you forget the other 40 things that were wonderful about the relationship. So this is about really knowing all the different areas in a relationship. But here's the most important part, and that's first the deal breakers. Now, there's a lot of deal breakers. It could be age. It could be that, you know, kids are not kids. It could be just local. I mean, a lot of people, that's a deal breaker right there. You got to be local. I'm not doing a long-distance relationship. You got to be kind. There's, you know, we all have our deal breakers. But here's the tricky part. I mean, normally, if it's a deal breaker, it should be a deal breaker. If you've figured out it's really a deal breaker, you should not go for it. But people do commonly. And it's because we're commonly, a lot of people are jonesing for a relationship. We're dying for love. We're not whole on our own. And we're just dying to find someone to love or someone to love us. Right? So we like, oh, there's a deal breaker, and you just let it go. Right? Oh my God. You can't do that. You can't base a relationship on how needy you are. Right? So you put down your deal breakers, right? And those are really important. On this, the whole chart, notice what I've done. So we got how important is it for me? And then compatibility with the other person on a scale of 1 to 10. Right? So then there's all the other areas other than deal breakers. Now, these are like buying a house. You're lucky if you get 60% of them. You know, I feel like 60% of these others are cool. It's very cool. I mean, if you're up around 80%, that's incredible. Or 90%, oh my God, right? But if it's less than 50, maybe it kind of depends, you know. So this gives you a good idea of all the different areas as far as chemistry, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, health, lifestyle, right? Communication style, heart openness, and the logistics we mentioned a little bit of. So it's really cool to look at a chart like this, and then once you're further along, you can actually compare it with the other person's values and see where you are and just know, oh, we're not really that compatible there. That's okay. Look at all the other 40 things that are cool. That really helps ground your relationship instead of being on the roller coaster of going up and down based on just some weird conflict or challenge that comes up. Okay, so that's compatibility. It's nice to calculate it. Most people are just going to go on chemistry, right? Then there's the whole section here. Oh, I want to mention the thing on intuition. A lot of people get in trouble with their intuition big time. And there's a serious danger with intuition. It's like you get people commonly. It's probably why people kill people, right? Or kill themselves. They go, oh, my intuition or my download says that we are meant to be. Well, what about the other person's intuition and downloads? Or maybe they've got different values as to what they want in a relationship. You can't use your own intuition, no matter how good you think it is, to define a relationship. You know, and that's really a major problem. It's like, you know, oh, I know she loves me. I know she loves me. I can feel it. Well, there must be maybe a deal breaker in there for her, you know. So that's important to know. Okay. And then connecting and navigating new relationships. This one's really interesting because the biggest problem is when you first get together, it is so fluid. It is so changing. Who knows what's going to happen the next moment, right? You both don't know anything about the other person unless you've already been friends, and that's cool. But still, when you get into the loving part, it's still a whole other ballgame. But it's really just a complete mess. You're just trying to figure it out. And then you start thinking, oh, do I want to marry them? You can't go into the future. You got to be present in the moment. And that's the key about any expectation for any relationship. Be present in the moment and be grateful for what you have now. The second you start going, oh, I wish I had this. Oh, it's like, I wish we could go to this level. Oh, I wish we could kiss. I wish we could this. It's like, now that's stress. And you're bringing this whole level of stress. And as I forget who said it, when you focus on what you don't have, you completely blow all the beauty that you do have. I forget who did that quote. It's in the book, though. That's a really good one. Okay, so these are all the different levels of relationship. But the problem is nobody agrees on what one level is or not. So there's a lot of disagreement. Oh, we're not in a committed, loving relationship, but we're making love every night. Okay, well, you know, oh God, it's a mess. It's a mess. Okay. Then there's the communication. It's really about flow, so there's not blockages. I mean, when you get blockages, that's especially when someone stops talking. I mean, that's a serious blockage, right? It's really about we're trying to get flow in the emotional and sharing and communication. Right? Now, one thing that's really interesting, I love this chapter on listening. There's so many different ways to listen. You can listen for the information. You can listen for the emotional content coming across from the person, whether they like you or how much they like you. We commonly do that. I've done it. I admit it, right? There's so many. We're watching body language. There's like 30 things you do when listening, not to mention thinking about what you're going to say when they stop talking, right? I mean, this is like the most complex thing you've probably ever done in your life. To take in 20 or 30 different types of information and think about how you're going to respond at the same time, you can't fool around. You can't be multitasking. You got to be 1,000% present and ultimately just be really at peace to be able to listen fully and be able to hear them. Even if you disagree, you got to hear them completely and step into their shoes, right? So it's just critical how important it is to be at peace so you can do this multitasking thing that is unbelievable work. Right? Okay. And then there's respect. It's probably the number one thing that breaks up relationships. If you don't feel respected, over time, it's going to be a problem. And it's quite common. People are commonly at different levels physically. Some are stronger, some weaker. Mentally, some faster, some better memory, some worse memory. Emotionally, some more stable, some not. And spiritually, some like connected to source all the time, some just like learning, right? There's all these different levels where we're commonly at different levels. And so it's really easy for someone at a higher level to not respect someone at a lower level. And it's just critical. It's just critical that you have compassion and realize you are either helping them
come to the next level. Or if you're at a lower level, thank goodness I got someone to teach me, right? To really look at it as a beautiful learning experience instead of it's a bummer that that person isn't as sharp or whatever, right? It's really important to, I mean, ultimately, though, we do like people at a certain level of similar to us, and that can even be a deal breaker if it's too far off, right? But there's you got to have compassion. Then there's oiling the wheels. I mean, you know, you gotta be sweet. You gotta be sweet. So when the rainy day comes, you got a lot more capacity built up, right? That's kind of many books talk about that, right? And there's all different ways to be sweet, and not only saying things, but actions, quality time, touch, and saying I love you. Oh my God. Okay, here's one of my favorite chapters of all, and that's the information behind the communication. And I go through five different areas, which is the energy behind the communication, the intention, beliefs about self, about another, and needs behind the communication. So there's even the information itself, right? That's even another one. Well, a lot of people think the energy behind the communication is the whole deal. Well, I'm here to tell you the intention is way bigger deal. If someone has an intention to win in a communication, everybody knows it. If you could feel it, there's no secrets here. If someone has an intention just to make headway in the relationship and they're trying to get closer, we even feel that. But if someone has an intention of the highest good for both people involved, completely, whatever makes sense for both people, whatever is the fairest, what is most fair for both, then everybody senses it. And it's interesting because you can have a beautiful, loving energy that you're running of love behind the communication, but have an intention to manipulate. And the other person gets it. They know that you're trying to manipulate. There's no secrets here. It's like it's the most out front thing about a communication is the intention, and it's so obvious, and it's never spoken about hardly at all. The energy is what we feel. Now, I've even gotten to a situation where my intention is to totally work it out in a balanced way, whatever the communication is, but then someone's not paying attention or running a negative intention. I can get frustrated or upset even, and then they think, oh, my energy sucks. And now they get upset and we get into the energy realm of things not working out, of things being negative, right? Whereas the truth is my intention is completely for both to have a fair resolution here, right? But here's what makes it even worse. Probably the worst of all is when somebody has a belief about the other. We all have our negative beliefs about ourselves, but if you've got a belief that this person is not that smart, oh my God. You know, you can't do anything. I mean, again, we're back to respect. You're going to have an argument just on that background matter. Because regardless of how nice or kind or whatever you are in the communication, it's like if you believe that person sucks in some way, it's like a box, and I hate boxes. Boxes are really hard to get out of, right? I hate it when people put me in a box. I'm a changing, flowing being. You never know what I'll be
in a moment.
You put me in a box, then I have to fight my way out, okay? But also beliefs about yourself. If you feel you're not good enough, the other person's going to be calculating that or adding that into every word you say and hearing it and responding differently than if you feel good about yourself. Okay. So it's really all these different levels, especially your intention. Now, there's many techniques for dealing with conflicts and challenges. Number one is don't talk unless you're on the same side. Don't talk unless you're on the same side. Right? If you're in an adversarial situation, you can hear it in a person's voice. Well, you know, where as opposed to, let's figure this out together. It's a completely different tone of voice, and you can feel it in a second when it shifts from one to the other, to adversarial, where it's the beginning of an argument, right? You're not on the same side. So there's many techniques. First of all, you can go back to being whole on your own. Take a little break. Do whatever you need to do. Go on a walk for nature. Do all the sound techniques we talk about. Get back to a place of peace, right? Or even better, work together in a meditation to get on the same side. There's a really cool one. One, you can actually just make the sound of how you're feeling, and both people do it one after another. That's really authentic because you can't do blaming with sound. Right? But the other is to set a time and do a ceremony, whether it's with crystal bowls or candles or whatever. You do maybe a little toning. You get in the zone of love and light. If you're having trouble getting there, then you're going to need a little more work. But most people can do it as long as they set a time and do it. Get in that place of love and light. Then, regardless of how you say something, people feel the love. So you go, it sucks what you do. And the other person goes, I love you too. Because that energy is there of love. Right? Get on the same side before you talk. Right. Now, I love this part about being non-reactive. Being non-reactive is pretty complex, but there's four basic reactions that we do around criticism. First is, you're right. I'll keep working on that. That's the biggest one that people don't do. You're right, because people don't want to admit they're wrong and apologize. It's okay to be wrong. We're freaking humans. Jesus, we're a mess. Society's a mess. We've been a mess for tens of thousands of years. Our ancestors were a mess. You know, it's in your DNA to be a mess. We're a mess, right? It's okay to be wrong, right? So say, okay, you're right. That's so beautiful. And then the second is, I've checked it out, and I don't believe that's true for me. Just say no. You know, if you really know that's not true, you know, maybe there's a misunderstanding here, but I really don't see that's true. Right? The third is, I hadn't thought about that one. Maybe you're right. Give me some time to check it out and see if that's true. And then the fourth way of reacting is, F you. You do it too. Right? The most common. That's the way we take criticism, like someone's attacking us. Oh my God. The ultimate, coolest, most beautiful relationship there is when both people know that the other person is on their side, looking out for them to help them grow more. Oh my God. And then when someone says something critical, you go, thank you. Oh my God, thank you, love, for pointing that out. I didn't notice that one before. Oh my God, how precious when you're both working together to grow. Oh, that's the deal. Okay. There's also the rules for engagement. I'm not even going to get into them. It's like being honest. There's some basic stuff you got to do. You can't be mean. You can't be mean. Geez, you know. And then you got to learn to set boundaries. A lot of people get in trouble because they haven't learned to set boundaries, and then they get overwhelmed by the other person's energy when they should have just set boundaries in the first place, and then they get upset. Okay. Then there's getting to a resolve. What is a resolve where everything is perfect and you can run love again? Right? What is that? What does that mean? Well, it could be being heard. Sometimes people just want to be heard and agreeing to disagree. Sometimes they agree it's a misunderstanding. Oh my God, I list like over 100 different misunderstandings. It's amazing that we can communicate with each other at all. And also sincere apologies. It's kind of bizarre. It's kind of weird. It's like if someone sincerely says, I'm so sorry I did that. I see how it hurt you. I immediately go, no big deal. It's fine. Cool. It's amazing how effective a sincere apology can be. Also, but then it's also negotiating an agreement. I mean, you can get back to a loving place, but who's going to do the dishes, right? You got to learn how to negotiate where it's fair. Then there's a really specific technique where there's zero energy of trying to win. In fact, in the most beautiful negotiation, you actually can even argue for the other person's side because it's what makes sense and what is fair. Right? Now, you can also just make it small. Oh, you know, we're just human. It's no big deal. Let's make love. Right? Or have compassion for the other. Or just run love. That can be really cool just to get back to love. Right? Now, you can also run energy. And it's really cool to be able to talk to another person's higher self, to send them love in the 5D. And you can also work from different chakra levels. If you're stuck in the solar plexus where the anger is, move it up to the heart. And look at it from a higher perspective. This is all no big deal, right? Love is so much more important. Okay. And then there's breakups. Well, there's many techniques. I mean, this is a tricky one because everybody's got their own reasons for breaking up. And, you know, if you've got reasons, they're valid. Main thing, again, is don't stay in a relationship just because you're needy and you're dying for a relationship. Right? You know, it's worse to be in a bad relationship than to be whole on your own. Right. And then we go through all the different grief techniques. We've gone over those in some of the shows here. It's okay they're gone. Thank you. Thank you for that previous relationship. Thank you, Lord. How freaking blessed am I? Thank you to have such a love in my life. And then to bring in universal love. And then to realize loneliness is just an attachment to something you don't have. To be present in the moment, run love. You don't even have to learn how to run universal love. Just send love to your own heart. And know that you've got all the love in the universe right here on your own. The other thing about being on your own, you get back to your own groove, your own rhythm. When you're with somebody all the time, it's a balance of two different rhythms. And often you're deferring to their rhythm even when you're just holding them. It's a balance of back and forth of different rhythms. And when you're on your own and you learn your own rhythm, which is really your heart rate, right? You can actually, here, let me show you. So I can take my pulse, right? And do a rhythm based on my pulse. Okay, here we go. That's my pulse rhythm. That's me. You get back and feel your own rhythm. It's amazing how many people don't even know where home is. And we're not even talking the rhythm. People don't even know who they are without someone else. You need to find your own home. And especially know when you're off. So you know there's work to do. Right? Yeah. You gotta know. And ultimately, you know your own rhythm. It's really just being present in the moment, right? Feeling your body, checking in with your emotions, checking out the busyness of your mind, feeling any spiritual realms around you, just being present with all of it, right? And being so grateful just to be alive and breathing. There's so much love here without a relationship. Then, here's my favorite part of all, and that is resonating more love. This whole section on the sound of love went through in my previous book, The Complete Guide of the Frequencies and Notes of Love. We've talked about it in all of the shows. The pitches of love, your keynote of love of your voice, so you can say, I really love you, right? Instead of, I love you. No, I love you, right? And then you feel it more. And then there's the dynamics of love, loving yourself, sending love to your partner remotely. But here's probably one of the biggest and most important of all. To be able to send love and run love when the other is not being loving or hasn't been loving for a long time. As I say, I don't think the honeymoon should ever be over. And it commonly is because people don't know how to run love, especially run love with another. Oh my God, I had a partner for 3 hours on the phone. We did not say a word. And we ran love, and I could feel the energy going up and down my body, and she felt it too. We're just like bawling. It's so precious, so beautiful to be able to run love, right? But even if the other's not doing it, to just send them love. Send love. Here, you could do it with the sound. You could do it silently. Right? Send love. Run love even when you're not receiving it. And then, if both people are doing it, holy moly, it's party time. It's major party time. And then the honeymoon never ends. Right? There's also the cool thing of when making love, actually just holding a person and actually going through each of the chakras and feeling both people feel each chakra one at a time. And even you can even make a sound together, but just go, okay, here's our root chakra. And you both feel it while hugging each other, right? And then go all the way up to the crown and then run the energy from the root all the way up the crown as a flow. Together, oh my God, and you can end up holding, heart to heart. Oh, the other thing that's unbelievable is if you haven't ever done this for your mate, put your lips on their heart and send the sound of love right into their heart with your lips right on the skin. Go right into their heart with this energy of love. Oh my God, it is so, so incredible. But the most fun of all is to tone any vowel while kissing. Tone in each other's mouth while kissing. It's actually kind of hard to do because you immediately start cracking up. It is so funny, right? So it's hard. But once you get it down, I've done it for almost an hour, right? So you find the resonant frequency of their mouth, and then all of a sudden it's like, where's the sound coming from? It's like, oh my God, you go into another dimension. Or you go off pitch together and you create a binaural beat. It's like, whoa, that's a trip, right? Or you do frequency sweeps together, right? While kissing, Right? Oh my God, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Toning while kissing. The main thing is to run love. Especially, I mean, I've had relationships where we'll run love in bed, holding each other for 4 hours. No sex at all. And it's unbelievable. We're running this energy of love. It's like this bubble of love completely surrounds. I mean, it's like for all chakras, it's going up into spirit, right? And it's like, oh, if we'll have sex. Okay, fine. Okay, cool. Let's go for it. But, you know, the love, it's so much better. I mean, it's light years better than sex. Oh, my God. Ultimately, you then raise this love of a relationship up to universal love. So now it becomes a spiritual journey. It's like, how can we run more love in our life for everybody? Not only everybody we meet, but sending love to everybody on the planet, right? So now this love that you're sharing becomes a much bigger spiritual journey of enlightenment and universal love and oneness with everybody and everything on the whole planet or the whole universe, right? That's really cool when you're both in alignment with that, because now there's zero attachment. Actually, it's tricky. If it gets that good, it's hard to not have attachment. But when you're running love for the whole planet, right, you're not thinking, oh, I might lose this, or oh, is this good enough, or oh, how could we do this better, or oh, you know, that part of that person sucks. No. It becomes all service. Service to humanity and the whole planet and the whole universe. And that's the ultimate, when two people are in service together. Now, the worst is getting all of this down and then finding someone that doesn't have a clue about it. Someone that might even be a little mean here and there, that doesn't know how to take criticism, that is not whole on their own, that's really needy, right? Sometimes we look out for the needy ones. Some people actually look for the needy ones, because then maybe they won't leave me, right? So it's really tricky to be able to stay in the light when others around you are not. It's like, oh, you should read this book, Sound Loving Relationships. Or, I got an idea here. What do you think of this? Let's make the sound of how we're feeling. So you start helping them learn as much as you can. Or you move on. Because now you're not worried about losing a relationship. Because you've got all the love in the world in your own heart. Again, when you are able to run the sound of love for yourself massively, there's nothing more attractive. There is nothing more attractive. So our intention is, may all relationships finally flow. Not only loving relationships, but all relationships. May it all flow finally. And may we finally learn how to love without fear. Thank you for listening. Hold that energy. the rest of the week and months ahead, years ahead,
lifetimes ahead.